Welcome to a Durban Christian Center South Ministry message.
The main book that I'll be speaking from is on sale somewhere. I don't have a copy of it here, but it should be at the bookshelf or available. It's called Masters of the Economy. I'm speaking from that this morning. Masters of the Economy was basically a book that I've just got my doctorate. I'll be graduating in about 2 weeks. 2 weeks from now. And thank you. We took the dissertation that we did and then converted that into a book that addresses how a person, individual, family, church, community, or a nation can master their personal economy by moving out of debt into increase, into financial authority and dominion. We study several people in the Bible that God spoke to me who were masters of the economy. A perfect example is the story of how Joseph comes into Egypt, and Egypt is going through a situation. The famine comes, 7 years of abundance, and it was supposed to be 7 years of famine. But 2 years into the famine, we've always believed that the famine lasted for 7 years, but in essence, the famine only lasted for 2 years. Now, if you study your Bible, you'll learn that the reason the famine stopped in 2 years is because Jacob came into Egypt and Pharaoh solicited a blessing and said to Jacob, "Bless me." The moment the blessing was spoken by a spiritual father over Pharaoh, who was the head of the nation, the famine stopped in 2 years. So the blessing of a father will stop any famine in your life. So when fathers gather, like we will be gathering for the next few days during the conference, I want you to know it's not just because pastors just wanted us to come and sit together, but it is because words will be spoken into the atmosphere that will cause the famine in your life, in your business, to stop. And I believe that for the next couple of days, we're going to go through a supernatural transformation. One of the biggest needs in the church today, God said to me, is financial freedom. And it is amazing. If we do an altar call now for people that are not well, maybe 5-10% of the people that are here would put up their hands. But if we put up an altar call for people that need financial miracles and breakthrough, 95-98% of us would put up our hands. In the book, Masters of the Economy, I give a few statistics. And one of the most frustrating and painful statistics is how that in South Africa, 95% of South Africans are living in consumptive debt. That means 95% of the people that are looking at me right now are living in some form of debt. You're wearing clothes that you'll still be paying for 6 months. You're driving a car that you'll pay for the next 5 years. You're living in a house that you may never finish paying for and pass on the debt to your children and to your children's children. Our nation is going into debt that will guarantee that your great-grandchildren will be born in debt. That means we have a crisis that we as the church need to address very, very seriously. If we do not look into the economic factor of our lives, your children will perpetually be in debt for generations to come. But the Bible tells us that a good man leaveth an inheritance for his children's children. And so we are good people. We ought to leave an inheritance of wealth and abundance, not debt, mortgage, and finance vehicles, and I mean having hair on your head that you'll still be paying for, nails on your fingers that you're still paying for. That is not the plan of God for you. Praise God. Praise God. So God has called me and anointed me to speak on the subject of finance. And just like a healing evangelist would have signs and wonders of healing following, I have signs and wonders in the financial arena that follow me. 7 years ago, I was just a pastor every month waiting for my salary on the 25th of the month and hoping that there would be enough income and tithes and offerings to pay me so that I could look after my family. I had an encounter with the Lord, which I speak about in the book, where in a service, God spoke to me a message and he said, "Son," I was about to go up and speak in a conference, and God said to me, "Son, I want to I want you to begin to speak on this subject on finances, because there is come to the body of Christ, the church, a move of God in the area of finances. There will be a rising up of kingdom financiers, men and women of God anointed to channel resources for the expansion of the kingdom of God. Men and women will come out of debt supernaturally as I bless them and increase them, and there will be a move in the area of finances. So from that time, I began to study, and that's where the book Meditations of the Kingdom Financier came from. Over 200 scriptures that guarantee your financial success. I always challenge believers and I say to them, how many scriptures can you quote on financial freedom and financial success? And you can sit at a table, and probably most average believers, including most of the people looking at me now, may be able to quote maybe 3 or 4 or 5 scriptures confidently and eloquently that guarantee financial success. Most believers would stutter and maybe say, Philippians, something, you know, God will supply, you know, we will never be in lack, God will supply. I know there's a scripture like that, and you know, the righteous will never beg for bread. We are not eloquent, but when we talk about seventh delaying, when we talk about chigamachiga, when we talk about generations, when we talk about soccer, we have people that can name the whole soccer team and the players that will be bought in the next season, but they cannot eloquently tell us what the Bible says about their financial success. So we need to move to a place where we can confidently speak the word with authority, with boldness in the area of finances. Amen. Somebody declare, my financial season is shifting. So what happened to me after, within the last 7 years, from waiting for one salary to where I am now? My wife and I are currently running 17 business interests that we have started in 7 years. How did that happen? It's what I'm going to teach to you today, the power of the tithe. It redefined our lives. I've been tithing now for over 23 years. Consistently, every income, if somebody gives me 100 rand, 10 rand, I will give to the Lord. If somebody gives me 10,000 rand, 1,000 rand will go to the Lord. When I make business profits, I tithe. Every so often, I actually will tithe twice. First, into our ministry and into our spiritual authority, Pastor Nikki van der Vestese. Why? Because I understand the power of the tithe. So the power of the tithe began to change my life. But I had tithed for almost 15 years without revelation. So we're talking about revelation this week. Revelation about finances. Revelation about your financial freedom. Revelation about your position as a kingdom financier. We are going to talk about that. So when I came to the place where I had revelation about tithing, I suddenly shifted, because God gave me this interesting conversation. As I spoke to the Lord, he says, son, did you know that most people in the church are receiving a return on investment by measure in their lives? And I said, what does that mean? He said, on a scale of 1:10, most believers that are tithers are getting a return on their tithe at level 1 or 2. And I said, why? He says, firstly, because people are tithing without revelation. Secondly, people are tithing with offense, with issues, with bitterness, with anger, with griping. Thirdly, people don't know what my word says about tithing, and they don't know how to make the principle of the tithe work for them. And fourth, the church has been abused by so many pastors, teachers that have used the concept of tithing as a message of bashing people on the head and say, you're cursed with a curse if you do not tithe. God is going to deal with you. And people are like scared. Oh my goodness, I'm going to die. God's going to do. And fear has come in. And we've moved out of the realm of tithing from faith to tithing from fear. And so we have reduced the return on our investment from a 10 to 2 or 3. So how do we move to the highest level of getting our return? That's what I began to do. And let me tell you, when I came to South Africa in 2005, when I went to do my SAQWA evaluation to get a missionary permit as a pastor, I was rated to be a grade 10. According to the SAQWA evaluation from Zimbabwe to South Africa, I was a grade 10. But now I am getting my doctorate. How did I get to get my bachelor's, my master's, my doctorate in a space of 4 years? How did that happen? The tithe restructured my brain. The tithe made me think at a different level. The tithe has the power to give you ideas. How did I get business ideas? 17 business ideas. How did that happen? It happened because the Spirit of God began to breathe on my mind and on my brain and restructure my brain. So God will change your life and your financial status by virtue of you being a tither. How many of you are ready today to learn about the power of the tithe? Take off every fearful thought that you've ever had and just relax. I'm not here to do any strange things. I'm here to teach you the word. Are you ready for that? That's why I said take down notes so you can go home and check if what I'm teaching you is in the word. Father, as we get into your word, bless your word. Give us wisdom and revelation, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Let the eyes of our understanding be flooded with light, that we may know what is the exceeding greatness of your power to usward who believe. Give me boldness to speak your word as I should, that we may step into a supernatural flow of your glory and of understanding. Open our minds and pour down ideas, concepts, strategies, creative concepts, witty inventions that will redefine our financial status in the name of Jesus. We give you thanks and praise that this atmosphere is rich with revelation, is rich with the supernatural in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Praise God. Now we're going to get to our notes. You will see the notes at the back here. So at the back, if you have good eyesight, you can take notes or you're going to go with me. Let's flow. Praise God. Satan had big issues with man right from the beginning, because Adam was given what Lucifer wanted to acquire by high treason. So Satan said to himself, how can I attack, frustrate the plan of God for man? Man was designed to live by God. He was designed to live by a set of divine instructions. That's why God said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. In other words, the words that God releases are the words that are designed by God to sustain man. Man was not supposed to live by bread or physical sustenance, but by physical supply of words that were given to him. God never intended for man to toil for survival. God intended for man to study the word in order to be sustained. It is the studying of the word that sustains man. It was the atmosphere of heaven that was released into the atmosphere of earth that structured what earth was. That's why God came into the garden at the cool of the day, spoke to man, gave him fresh revelation, gave him a fresh anointing that sustained him. But when Satan came into the garden, he disconnected man from the flow of life that was coming from God, and he substituted that with words that came from Satan. So it was the taking in of satanic words that caused a frustration or a breach in the earth's reproductive capacity. Later on, maybe tonight or tomorrow, I'm going to be talking about how to activate the hundredfold in everything that you're doing in your life. And we're going to talk about reversing and going back to the original plan of God to activate the supernatural return. But it was based on that principle of words coming from God, received by man. Man speaks those words and transmutes those words from heaven into their material equivalent. The Bible says in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3, we see God creating man, making the woman, making man a complete being, man and woman. But there's an interesting verse that says, these are the generations of the earth before things were on earth. The question that you need to ask is, where were they before they were in earth? Jesus said, if you're praying, this is how you're to pray. Your kingdom come in earth as it is in heaven. In other words, before there were trees on earth, there were trees in heaven. Before there were animals on earth, there were animals in heaven. Before there was beautiful scenery on earth, it was in heaven. So God took what was in heaven and spoke it into the earth by the power of his words. So he then makes man another speaking spirit. The Bible says he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul or a breathing being, a cognitive speaking spirit that had the ability to hear words from the realm of the spirit and release them by his words into the realm of the natural. In other words, man was to dominate his world by the power of his words. The key for his divine connection with God was his worship. Okay? Are we okay so far? The key to his divine connection was his worship. And I'm going to tell you and teach you what worship is from a biblical Hebrew perspective. So man was to be sustained by words that come from heaven. God's agenda for man was never employment. God's agenda for man was deployment. Employment is a product of man falling from his original position. Deployment was God's original intention for man when he sent man into the earth. Okay? And we're going to break this down. What is deployment? It is the movement of troops or equipment to a place or a position of military action. It is the action of bringing resources into effective action. It is to arrange and to arrange in a position of readiness or to move to a strategic ally or to move appropriately. To come into position of readiness to use. Wow, this is powerful. So God wanted to deploy you into the earth as a kingdom ambassador so that in earth you can establish the kingdom of God. So wherever you are, whatever your assignment is, whatever your mandate is, God wants to deploy you into that space so you can go in and dominate. That's why he gave the Genesis 1 verse 28 command, be fruitful and multiply, subdue the earth and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over every moving thing that moveth upon the earth. That blessing was the blessing for man to be deployed to function under the authority of heaven. In the New Testament, Jesus comes and he gives us a similar instruction. He says, occupy until I come. Do business until I come. So man is supposed to do business in the earth. What business? Kingdom business, heavenly business. What is heavenly business? Heavenly business is profit, profitability. God wants us to be profitable as kingdom representatives that are deployed in the earth. And how does God measure profitability? By the number of souls that we reach, by the number of lives that we're able to impact, by the number of people we can bring into the house of God. And what is the vehicle for bringing lives to the kingdom of God? It is your worship. It is your finances. A broke church has no voice. Let me say that again. A broke church has no voice. It is, oh, Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody say praise God. So God wants to deploy you so that you can be a kingdom change agent. Let me give you a couple of examples of what we can do, for that. Imagine if God were to empower you to get yourself, I came in a beautiful church minibus. Can you imagine if all of us had one of those? And you use that as your Sunday vehicle. All you do on Sunday is you drive through your neighborhood, pick up 4, 5, 6 people into your minibus, and you bring them to church. And you tell them, hey, after church, I'm taking you to Panarottis. We're going to have pizza and discuss Pastor Johnny's sermon so that we review what you learned in church. Now, that is New Testament discipleship. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Imagine, ladies, imagine if you had the capacity financially to go into a community and find 6, 7 young ladies and tell them, let's go to church. After church, I'm going to take you shopping. I'm going to get you 3, 4 outfits. I'm going to minister to you. I'm going to disciple you for the next 6 months. Okay. At least I heard it come on somewhere. At least I got some support. Hallelujah. Thank you. Who was that? Oh, my goodness. Can I give this to you? Thank you for supporting me. I really appreciate the support. You're a blessing. Hallelujah. At least I've got some support. Man, can you imagine if you had the capacity to find 4 or 5 young men that you're going to pour your life into and teach the principles of the word? You clothe them, you feed them, you educate them, you direct their lives in the things of God. That's what the church is all about. That is deployment. That is the mandate. We don't just change lives by saying, come to church. Why should I come to church? Coming to church will change the quality of your life. And this will come out of us having a revelation of who we are. On the next slide, it says, what is employment? It is the state of being employed or to employ your services. An occupation by which a person earns a living. God never intended for you to earn a living. He intended for you to make. He says, you shall remember that it is He, the Lord your God, that has given you the power to make, to get, to produce wealth. Not to earn a living, not to be negotiating for a salary and say, please, can you give me a 5% increase? But God said He wants you to be a master of your economy, one who has who can dominate his financial sphere so that it is an expansion of the kingdom of God. Glory to God forever. An activity or the like that occupies a person's time. I came to a place where I suddenly realized God never intended for you to be told that you can only go to the toilet 5 times a day. Okay, let's leave that one. Let's leave that one. The ideal is for you to walk in your divine assignment. God never intended for us to just get a job. He intended for us to do our work, our assignment, our mandate. God's original plan for man was for him to have work, not a job or employment. God, on the next slide, God made sure the environment was right. Then he made the man. In verse 7, when you study through, I'm going to break it down for you just as we walk through this process of Genesis. I love the book of Genesis. So in verse 7, the man comes into existence and God gives him the ability to speak. Man is a spirit. That makes him powerful. That makes him unique. What's unique about being a spirit man? Everything else that is in this world is either just physical and soulish or spiritual and soulish. Man is the only entity created in the whole universe that is spirit, soul, and body. God himself, before Emmanuel, God with us, was just spirit. He didn't have a physical body. But man was made to function in 3 dimensions because God had said to himself, I, as God, representing the kingdom of heaven, want to have expression in the earth. And I have expression through the words that I impart to man and the words that he speaks. When Satan comes on the scene, he understood the principle because he was in heaven when that statement was made. What is man that you're mindful of him, or the son of man that you visit him? You have made him a little lower than Elohim, and you have crowned him with glory and honor, the ability to dominate in his sphere. So Satan understood the principle. So what did Satan do when he fell? He says, I know I can change this world if I can change his language, if I can influence his words. So he comes and he causes a breach in the spiritual atmosphere by the words that are spoken. So Satan comes and changes the environment by influencing the woman to eat the fruit and therefore be sustained by words from Satan and not words from God. Here's the principle. Heaven wants to have expression in earth, and heaven will have expression through words that are spoken that create the atmosphere of heaven, which is faith. Satan and his kingdom want to have expression in the earth. How does he do it? By influencing the atmosphere of earth through words that are spoken that create the atmosphere of hell, which is fear. So if we receive words of fear, we reproduce fear. We reproduce lack. We reproduce poverty. But if we receive words from heaven that build faith, we then are able to create an atmosphere of faith so that God can move in the atmosphere and express the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. So that is why it is important to manage what you're hearing every day. When we switch on your car engine after this service, what are we going to hear? When we start your car and drive, what are we going to hear? We're going to hear, I don't know what you hear. We in Johannesburg, we have 702, a talk show. You get in your car and you're hearing, oh no, Nkandla, you know, the president and what, and now there's a recession, and then there's going to be unemployment that's going up, and youths are going to, and so on. And what happens? It creates in your car an atmosphere of fear. And you're driving through thinking, oh my goodness, recession, poverty, lack. So what are you going to produce? Words that line up with the kingdom of Satan. But if you have Pastor Johnny's teachings and you're listening to the word, you start your car and you hear words of faith, words of life, words of healing, words of joy. Then guess what happens? You begin to change your atmosphere. In the book, The Judeo-Abrahamic Wealth Factor, I teach a principle with a question that I ask. What language do you speak? And I was not talking about Xhosa, Zulu, Venda, whatever language you speak, because all of those are languages. But in the realm of the spirit, there is a language. Poverty is a language. Lack is a language. Divorce is a language. You cannot have a great marriage speaking the language of divorce. You cannot have a successful business speaking the language of failure. You cannot have successful financial status if you're speaking the language of lack. We have to change your language in order to change your atmosphere, in order to change the results. Hallelujah. So Satan wants to have expression. So man was made as a speaking spirit, and he had the power to speak words. The garden was structured for the comfort of man. Food, water, vegetation, gold, everything was provided. And then God placed man in the garden. Eve got corrupted and deceived by Satan. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life crept in and corrupted the original status that the woman had, and she went on to corrupt the man. They were receiving words from the wrong source. Man, as a speaking spirit, was programmed by God to survive on words. We survive on words. Whether you believe it or not, you do. We survive on words. Trust me, if your husband keeps telling you every day, oh, you're so bad, you're so ugly, the wife next door is better than you, I promise you, something's going to happen. There's going to be drama in that home. You've got to learn to master words if you're going to master your success. Satan uses a principle. This is the principle. It's called the principle of mass fear. The principle of mass fear says whatever words prevail in an environment, we can cause mass fear in a great group of people by the words that are spoken. So that's why when we go towards winter, Satan fills the atmosphere with words of flu, flu, flu is coming, flu is coming. So even if you were not going to get the flu, you see signs and things all over the highway. Get your flu virus. Get this. The atmosphere gets loaded with fear for flu. And guess what we reproduce? Flu. Satan is a master of creating environments. You need to be a master of creating faith environments if you're going to master your economy. Praise God. The source of words that you're receiving on a day-to-day basis is therefore very important, because that determines the quality of life that you will live. Debt and poverty and lack came as a result of the fall of man. All debt. Debt never existed until man fell. Poverty never existed until man fell. Debt in the Bible is always in the context of fallen man. Never once in the Bible is debt in the context of God propagating or bringing the debt into the situation. It is always a result of fallen man. That means God does not want you to be in debt. Oh, praise God. Can I get a few more amens? People say, Pastor, why do you speak so much about finances? Firstly, because God said I must. Secondly, because there is a crisis. Thirdly, because I discovered that the more money people make, the less I have marriage problems in my church. I discovered there are sicknesses and diseases that are suffered by poor people that rich people don't have. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I discovered that walking in the blessing. I mean, when I studied my Bible, let me tell you what else I discovered. This one always causes a few contentions, but we'll teach the word anyway. God never intended for women to be in the working field. I didn't say, ladies, go and quit your job. No, I didn't say that. I just said, in the original plan, God intended for our wives to just enjoy, go to the mall, go shopping, go and do their nails. So that when we finish doing what we are doing in our deployment as men, we come back to a fresh woman who is not tired from typing reports from 8 to 5. So now divorce is high because wives are tired because they were also at work and they are frustrated. They were not pampered. And then the ladies woke up. And then the ladies woke up. Have you ever read Proverbs 31? All she's doing is preparing, making sure there's wool for jerseys and fabrics. And the Bible says she's importing exotic foods from afar. She's just making sure the kitchen and everything is in order. She's not having to sweat and toil. She's not having to go and serve somebody the whole day and come back tired and fatigued and she falls asleep. Then you're frustrated. No sex, no intimacy, no joy in the home. The marriage begins to die. That is not God's will. All the men say amen. Amen. That was not too enthusiastic, but that was okay. Let's see what else. So, if we begin to go back to the original plan, God will begin to bless you until you come to a place where it is your family, your finances are structured according to the blueprint of heaven. I've taught these principles so well to my children. My kids are beginning to learn how to function. I've got one of my sons. This is my second born here. You heard that I've got 6 children. The first 3 are adopted, so he's one of the adopted sons. And then the last 3 are biological. So he's with us, and I've got my other spiritual son as well. He's running our publishing house. So, and he's running Phase 1 Media, one of the businesses we started. I handed over as an inheritance to my son, a business. My daughter, who is 12 years old, just started her first business a couple of weeks ago because of this teaching. What I'm teaching here, this is what I teach my kids over supper. Supper is not a time for gossiping. It's a time for empowerment. So my 12-year-old daughter has just started a business. You can Google it. It's called kkcakes.co.za. She's got a website, so she's doing cakes. She loves cakes. She loves baking, so she's doing cakes. My second daughter is starting a business. She's 14. She's starting her first business in about 2 months' time. She's starting a dance academy. She loves dancing. I was still trying to find out what to do with my 10-year-old son. He wants to play soccer, so we're still trying to structure him to a business. But God never intended for our children to grow up in poverty, our wives to be struggling and trying to figure out how will bills be paid. If we go back to the original plan of God, our families, this is how Jewish families structure their lives. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Uh-huh. By the time your child and a Jewish child get their matric, the Jewish child is 20 years in advance or ahead of yours. Because of the model of them teaching them the Torah, teaching them these principles, teaching them the power of their tithe. The very thing that we believers are holding in contempt is the very key that will redefine our lives forever. But anyway, let's go back to our notes. It says in our notes, debt in the Bible is always in the context of fallen man. And everyone that was in distress, this is the nation, this is the state of the nation today. People are in distress, and everyone that was in debt and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, to David. And they came to him, and they were about 400 men. Distress talks about in a narrow place, abstractly or figuratively, a place of confinement or disability, a place of anguish, distress, a straightness. That means you're stuck. You're caught between a rock and a hard place. A boss that is wicked, but bills need to be paid. So you're not enjoying your life. You're in a place of distress. God says, that's not my will. Debt means to lend with interest, by implication to dan for debt. Debt is to exact for usury, to be in a place of bondage. The word debt is taken from a word which literally means when you get into debt, it is as if you have been stung by a scorpion. You die slowly. So there are many people in debt. They are dying slowly. You're retiring, but you're still in debt. You want to work until you're 70 because you realize if I retire now and I have no income, I have the burden of rentals and bills and so on and fuel that's going up. So you are in a place of distress. That is not God's will for you. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Discontent means bitter, literally or figuratively. It also means being a place of bitterness, bitterly angry, hurt, chaffed, discontented, great heaviness. This is not what God intends for man at all. Eve was contaminated and she contaminated her son Cain and with the same condition that was in her heart. So when she was affected by the serpent, she affected her son. She contaminated her son. Both sons, by the way, Cain and Abel were twins. If you study your Bible, it says she conceived once and bore twice. That's twins. So they were the same. They were born on the same day, so to speak. So they were twins. So they received the same teaching, the same guidance, the same counsel, the same wisdom from their father. So when it came, the Bible says, in the process of time, Cain brought his offering unto the Lord. Abel also brought his offering of the first and of the fat thereof. His offering was qualified, but Cain's offering was not qualified, meaning he brought an inferior offering to God, compromising or breaching the process of the tithe that had already been taught him. How do we know that he was breaching a principle? Because if you move over to the New Testament in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a sacrifice that was more pleasing than his brother. What does it mean by faith? Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if Hebrews says Abel offered an offering by faith, if we are to follow the biblical principle, it means he heard something that he practiced. So Cain heard the same thing and chose not to practice what he heard, and the results were devastating. So the spirit of rebellion moved to the son Cain, by impartation, by associated. That's why mothers are important. Mothers, what are you teaching your children? What principles are you imparting into your children? What counsel are you giving to them? What spirit are you imparting into them? While your baby is in the womb, if you're disobeying biblical principle, you're already establishing a culture of disobedience and rebellion in a child that is in your womb. Fathers, if you're disobeying the biblical principles, you're already establishing in your children a genetic model of rebellion, because your children are in your loins. That's what the Bible teaches. It says Levi had already tithed when God entrusted him to receive tithes, because he had tithed while in the loins of Abraham. So as a tither, Abraham establish a principle of tithing through his loins, through the generations. That means if you're rebelling against the principle of tithing and giving in the house of God, you're already establishing a process of violation of biblical principles. Oh my goodness. This is heavy. That's why you must take notes and go back and check if this is in the Bible. And it is. I never teach anything that I cannot prove from one or two scriptures. But everything I'm teaching, I could give you 8 or 9 scriptures to prove every single one of these points. Why? Because it must be biblical. It must be solid according to the word. So here's what happened. The time for offering to the Lord came. And offering and worship in a Hebrew sense is totally different from what we believe in our own world. There is what is called in the Bible the Shema. The Shema is taken from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 5. The scripture says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul." With all your soul, with all your strength. But in the Hebrew, I was reading, I read in the Hebrew and study in the Hebrew context because there's a lot of truth that was compromised in translation. Okay? But in the Hebrew, the verse says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your resources." Oh, that brings a whole new light to it. In other words, worship is incomplete without a seed. Worship is incomplete without an offering. Worship is incomplete without what I bring, because my seed, my tithe, my offering is indicative of the status of my heart and my honoring of God with what I have produced with my strength. So God cannot bless the work of my hands unless the work of my hands is blessing him. So I must bring my tithe and my offering to the house of God as an act of honor. My goodness, Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare there's a breaking forth in the spiritual atmosphere right here in the name of Jesus. I declare in the name of Jesus, there are some people here whose financial status in your business has been stagnant for the last 2 years. God is saying to you today, there's a breaking forth that's coming. There's somebody here, corruption came in and frustrated the flow of business, contracts and clients into your business. But God is saying, I'm about to rebuke that devourer. I'm about to rebuke the corruption. I'm about to rebuke the officials that stopped the work coming to you in the name of Jesus. I see that happening right now. God sends ministering spirits, angels that are assigned in the financial sector, that are assigned in the resource and marketplace to rebuke devils that have been frustrating your finances. You have had ideas that have not moved. You have had concepts that have been stuck. God is saying to you today, it's time for a turnaround. The atmosphere spiritually in your life is shifting. I see the Lord rebuke that devourer. I see the Lord rebuke the devil, that demon that has been frustrating your marriage, frustrating your intimacy, frustrating your unity with your wife. That's the devil, because Satan wanted to stop the flow of wealth. God says, I'm raising you up to be a family that is a kingdom financing family. God says, I'm moving you within the next 6 months. There's a couple here. I'm moving you within the next 6 months to holding your first million rand opportunity. God says, I'm going to accelerate everything that has been slow, everything that has been stagnant. I'm moving it supernaturally so that ole brese kura mangel de torevele kishata lobre kebra shebra nonga lika radela bashakata lotoramanda. Constant fights. I see constant fights. I see constant issues arising. As you're about to have a breakthrough, an issue arises and you take 10 steps back. God says, I'm rebuking that devil right now. I'm rebuking that situation right now. I'm about to release upon you a fresh rain, joy, laughter, gladness. The heaviness tonight, this morning, right now as I'm speaking, the heaviness upon your life, upon your shoulders is lifting. That thing that has been sitting on your head, causing some form of a depression, God says it's lifting off your head right now. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke that devil. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke that situation right now. Satan, I command you, you have no right or authority right now over the people that are listening to me. In the name of Jesus, I command you, go now. In the name of Jesus, you spirit of poverty, you spirit of blindness, you spirit of resisting the word of God and resisting revelation, I rebuke you now. In the name of Jesus, you spirit of offense, I bind you and I command you, go. Loose the people of God and let them go. Every burden is lifted. Every weight is lifted. Every financial oppression is lifted. Every yoke of bondage is lifted. It shall come to pass in that day that his yoke shall be removed from your neck and his burden from your shoulders, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. There is a yoke destroying anointing, a debt destroying anointing, a bondage destroying anointing in the house right now. There is a spiritual shift in the financial sphere of this church. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, within the next few months, God is going to begin to release into the business people in this house ideas and concepts that are in the millions of rand. God is about to bring you into relationship with strategic people, decision makers, the final signer, the one who makes the final decision. God is about to give you access. They've told you no, you can't see them, you can't meet with them, but God is about to create. There's a shift in the atmosphere. I said there's a shift in the atmosphere. There's a shift in the atmosphere. I shift the financial atmosphere over DCC Bluff right now in the name of Jesus. I shift the financial atmosphere. God is raising you up as a businessman, businesswoman into the marketplace with an apostolic anointing and authority. You shall decree a matter and it shall be established. You shall decree a matter and it shall flourish. You shall decree a matter and fruit shall be in manifestation. In the name of Jesus, I believe there are doors that are opened. Doors that are opened, doors that are opened into the financial sector, doors that are opened into the marketplace. The spirit of mammon is defeated over this house. The spirit of mammon is defeated over your business. God is about, There's a businessman here. God has been speaking to you about a person that has been stealing and frustrating things. God says today, this morning, right now, speak with authority. And within the next 30 days, that there's going to be a shift. That person will be removed. That situation, that blockage will be removed. Speak with authority under this anointing. God is shifting your business. You have seen the big picture, but the situation has kept you in that place of frustration. God says there's a shift. There's a shift. There's a shift. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Lebra ko shaka ramanda yabaka shakata. The atmosphere over the house is shifting. The atmosphere over the church is shifting. The atmosphere over your life is shifting. In the name of Jesus, there are people whose hearts have been offended at tithing, offended at giving, offended at sowing, because you sowed a seed and nothing happened. You sowed and you didn't see fruit. God says, no, it's not that nothing happened. Something began to flow, but Satan caused offense, caused a breach, and there was a blockage in that which was about to manifest. Repent today and your seed will still speak for you. Repent today and that which has been in abeyance will come out into that which is active. God is, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. There's a supernatural flow in this house. Supernatural flow right now. Supernatural flow. The power of the Holy Ghost. Era kalabara kila mamrebe shabara kata yalabaka. Rota yabashakata yalabaka. Rondi bara kila brakefela mamre mendola bashabaka. Just begin to pray for your finances. Begin to pray for your financial situation. There are people here. You've been in a desperate, desperate situation. Situation has been tough. Circumstances have been pressing in on you. You are in distress. You are in frustration. Your marriage is under pressure. Your children are under pressure. Your blood pressure has gone up. You're not well in your mind, in your body. Your heart has been palpitating. You've been under tremendous stress. Healing is coming to you right now. I speak to your heart. I speak to your mind. I rebuke that spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. I release into you a spirit of faith. I release into you a spirit of power. I activate the gift of faith in this place. Come on, just lift up your voice. Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost.
Oh my goodness, this week will be powerful. This conference will be powerful. The glory of God is going to fall in this place. Angels of God are being dispatched to come and minister to the saints. Angels of God are being dispatched to come and minister to you. In the name of Jesus, this is your week. This is your week. This is your week of supernatural encounters. This is your week of supernatural visitation. In the name of Jesus. Remambra bashakata yalabaka. Rotabashandelebe koriata yalabaka. Ropala mambre mendola bashakata yalakahara. Retolabashandelebeka. Doors are opening. Favor is flowing. Remaramandola bashabaka. Retabashandelebeka. Father, we worship you. Now lift up those hands to heaven. Phew. Oh my goodness. I've never sensed this anointing this strong. Oh my goodness. There's somebody who's been praying. There's somebody who's been interceding. There's somebody who's been crying to heaven, crying to the Lord for a move of heaven. This is your week. This is your week. Famine is being rebuked. You've been in a season of famine. No clients, no business, no contracts, no opportunity, no raises, no promotion. You've been in a season of famine. Come on, you better worship like your season is changing. Pharaoh, a heathen, came to Jacob and he said, Jacob, bless me. I need a blessing. I need a blessing. Bless me. And the moment Jacob released that blessing, the famine in Egypt stopped in 2 years. 5 years of famine were canceled. 5 years of lack were canceled because of the power of the blessing. It is the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and adds no sorrow. It's not a good economy. It's not having the right president. It's not being in a certain city. It is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich. Mambre mendo laba shakata ya labaka, rota ya bashakata ya labaka, rota bashakete ya labaka sataya. Oh my 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 my. There's a release. Shaparaki sata. Ya brekesi kuramando laba shabakuriata ya labaka. Reto laba shanda ya laba kura bashaba kuriata ya laba ka. Ma 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 ma. There's people here. There's people that are listening to me today, and there's a stirring in your stomach, in your abdomen, physically. You're stirring something like ladies would know when a baby moves in a womb. Similar feeling. Something is stirring up. There are other people here. Your mouth is getting. Like something is flowing in your mouth, like words want to come out, like your mouth is getting thick, or there's like electricity in your tongue. There's people here, there's a tingling in your hands, a heat in your hands. There's a heat in your hands. The last group, there's a group, or no, two more. There's people here, your feet are feeling a sense of heat or agitation. It's like there's something in my toes. The last group, it's like your head, something is moving in your head. Each one of those groups of people, this is why that is happening to you today. That's the anointing on my life. The reason that is happening, God is giving you new ideas. God is opening your mind, giving you new ideas, new strategies that will make your business innovative and subversive in nature. You're about to access new platforms of business, new opportunities, new clients. Your hands are about to touch wealth like you've never seen. Your feet are about to go to places you've never been to before. And the others, there is a pregnancy. God has deposited into your spirit a baby that will be born in the next few months. A baby of wealth, a baby of success, marketplace success. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I release this upon the house. 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 Sobrekela mambre be shabakahataya. Lift up your hands and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive a new season. financially in my life. Father, in the name of Jesus, I reject poverty, lack, and debt, and distress. It is not my portion. It's not my inheritance. I am a child of God. I am an heir of Abraham. I'm a covenant child, walking in covenant with you. Therefore, I activate today.
We trust that you were blessed by that word. Our prayer is that you are inspired to become more like Jesus. If you'd like more information about Durban Christian Center, contact us on Durban code 031-467-0457. We'd love to hear from you, so please send us a praise report or even a prayer request. Thank you, and God bless.